This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And after that, you know what time it is. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. So get your questions emailed in now. Ask me anything. All 3 hours. Tomorrow is about you. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Did you see John Kirby? John Kirby. These people, they really are a different breed. These political types. The Biden administration, they've been dying, begging for more Ukraine money so they can keep washing money and having it come back to them through Ukraine. They don't care about Ukrainians. They don't care about all the Ukrainians who are dying. Those thoughts never cross their head. Joe Biden and his family have made a fortune in Ukraine. Can you even imagine the files Ukrainians have on the Bidens? So they're trying to get them some more cash. John Kirby somehow found a way to make a question about North Korea, about why it's Republicans' fault because they won't give Ukraine more money.
Russia's procurement of ballistic missiles from the DPRK directly violates multiple UN Security Council resolutions. We will raise these arms deals at the UN Security Council alongside our allies and partners, and we will demand that Russia be held accountable for yet again violating its international obligations. Second, we will impose additional sanctions against those working to facilitate arms transfers between Russia and the DPRK and between Russia and Iran. But here's the bottom line. The most effective response to Russia's horrific violence against the Ukrainian people is to continue to provide Ukraine with vital air defense capabilities and other types of military equipment. To do that, we need Congress to approve our supplemental funding request for Ukraine without delay. Russia is relying upon its friends to replenish its military stockpiles and enable its war against Ukraine. Iran and the DPRK are standing with Russia. Ukrainians deserve to know that the American people and this government will continue to stand with them.
They never miss an opportunity. It's not in them. These people can take a conversation about anything and turn it back into something about them. Florida Surgeon General calls for a halt to the COVID-19 vaccine usage after the FDA says he spread misinformation. I was thinking about this today in the shower. I do a lot of my best thinking in the shower, not to brag, but I think it's the collective guilt of the right that actually prevents us from having a real reckoning about the vaccine. And the reason I bring this up is this. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but someone I know very closely has a 16-year-old girl. And they, for sports reasons, sad to say, they ran her out and they got her that vaccine 2 years ago. 16-year-old girl. And she just came up and, gosh, it's just awful, confided in him that she's been having heart problems since she got it, and she'll be spending this entire weekend getting tests in the doctor's office. There needs to be a reckoning for that poison shot, for the people who pushed it, for the people who produced it. There needs to be some sort of a reckoning. How many people, young and old, out there, you've heard the emails when I read them, have been destroyed by that, had their physical health ruined, or had their life ended? And the reason I don't just blame the communists is because that thing started from the right. I think that is what holds the right back from demanding that reckoning, because it's hard to demand a reckoning when you yourself might end up with a knock at the door. And man, that sucks, doesn't it? It does suck. It sucks almost as bad as donuts. I saw this headline, a store's mysterious yellow donut has dessert lovers fighting over what the flavor is. I don't fight over it because you know what? I've got to just come out there and say it. Donuts are not very good. Now, hold on, Michael. Slow down. I'm not saying they're gross, but if you were to present me with a plate of eggs and bacon or a dozen donuts of my choice, 100 times out of 100, I would pick the eggs and bacon. And yet when you bring donuts into any kind of an environment, office environment or whatever, people descend on them as if they're the most delicious things in the world. They're not that good. What, Michael? Do I not have a sweet tooth? Well, I don't mind sweets. No, I like sweets. I like sweets. I like sweets just fine. The Sour Patch Kids and key lime pie and oatmeal raisin cookies and all that stuff. Little Debbie and I have been going steady now for 42 years. I like sweets just fine. I don't know. Maybe it's not for breakfast. Maybe that's what it is. Like, yeah, it's a dessert. Yes, I could not ever have a donut and coffee for breakfast. I would feel famished. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Let's get to some emails. Jesse the Blade Kelly. I forgot I nicknamed myself the Blade. Michael, why did that nickname come about? I forget what stupid thing I was talking about then. Oh, well, whatever. Let's focus.
But my focus is just stay focused.
I really appreciate your knowledge on history and in particular Medal of Honor Mondays. It inspired me to watch Band of Brothers as well as other historical documentaries about the United States military. To be honest, I find them depressing. They always show a country that was ambitious, healthy, and had high values, as well as an undying desire to want to be the best. In 2024, I don't recognize that country. Am I right, or should I be looking at these documentaries in a different light? Thanks for all you do, bud. Well, I will say, you sound like somebody who's not a veteran and just kind of now digging into history and military history. I have many friends who are vets. And I'll tell you what you just said is exactly how they talk. So don't think that you're abnormal or that you're wrong. And I'll be honest, that I feel that way a lot. And I don't love saying that, as you can tell. I don't take any joy in saying that. I look around and I don't recognize this place that I love so much, a place that I would die for. It looks like a totally different country to me. And my friends, from Marines to Green Berets to Air Force guys, SEALs, all up and down. A lot of these guys are hardcore dudes, too. Not like me. I mean, real, real pipe-hitting types. They say exactly what you just said. They don't recognize this place anymore. And I mean, how do you talk someone off that ledge when what they think is right? Listen to how this country talks now about its people.
And let's not forget, January 6th cost the lives of police, injured many police officers, and inflicted bodily harm on many people.
Not a single cop died on January 6th. Our country is led by the most dishonest, despicable people. It's not as if it's an opposite party thing. You have to understand, most of the military guys I knew while I was in, and myself when I was in, they're really not political. They are patriotic, don't get me wrong, very patriotic, but they're not political. We did not have maybe we had them, but if we did, I don't remember, and if we had them, they were rare. We did not have political conversations, really. That was not something that happened often. We'd have all kinds of conversations about things, but politics was never really one of those things. But that was also the year 2000 to 2004 when I was in, which is about the end of it, when even Democrats, and I'm not a Bill Clinton defender, but even Democrats, they didn't talk like this back then about the American people.
There's something dangerous happening in America. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy.
This person here is a sitting United States Senator.
You know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should.
You never heard that kind of talk back in the day. And when you hear these things and you see what's happened to the country you fought for, it does look like a completely different place. Now, that said, let me clarify something. That's not all of America. If that's your view of that's all that America is, You probably need to physically remove yourself, even temporarily, from where you are. You know, when you're sitting in New York City, which I love, I think I might be there next week, actually. But when you're sitting in New York City, which I love, it can be easy to convince yourself all of America is rotted. It's all rotted. It's all crime. It's all evil. Everything's a pride parade. Everything. It's easy to talk yourself into those things. There's a lot of the country that isn't like that. The country as a whole, though, yeah, no, I get down about it. Look, I get a little down with the national anthem now. You know how much I love it? Part of the reason it moves me so much more now is it feels like something we had, not something we have. Does that make sense? Whatever, we're moving off that. That's sad. Let's move on to some other things. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Busting out a little Phil Collins tonight, Michael. Always welcome on this show, despite all the vicious, heartless Phil Collins hate we get by email. It's some of the most vicious hate mail we get on the show. That was so wonderful, Michael. Thank you. It was such a pleasant thing. All right, back real quick on the evil people who run the country, because I wanted to play this. You know, we don't do mass shooting radio, as I've talked about many times. We don't do it. I want you to listen to the press secretary. This is the White House press secretary. This is a matter of hours after that big shooting in Iowa.
But honestly, the way that we're going to deal with this is to have legislation that deals with high capacity magazines, assault weapons ban. That's how we're going to move forward, a national red flag ban. And that's how we're going to deal with this epidemic that we're seeing across the country. That's why we keep saying enough is enough. Congress needs to act.
That's so evil. And it hits me even harder now as a parent. It's some horrible shooting at a school or something. My boys are 15 and 13. They don't have some special force field around them. That could have been my phone ringing today. Could ring right now. You don't know. That phone call that shatters your entire world. I would just fall over and die if something happened to one of my little buddies. But these people are so evil, so consumed with their evil demonic religion, that while parents are sobbing in each other's arms, they run to the podium and start politicking and gun grabbing. And that's, again, that's another thing that is new. You understand? And I know there were little instances of it in the past, Ted Kennedy and others. But that was something Barack Obama brought into the mainstream. You never saw that before. That's not what politicians did, presidents and otherwise. When there was a terrible, tragic event of any kind, the president, Democrat and Republican, you can see Bill Clinton giving these speeches. This is a time for prayer. Let's come together. Let's come together. It's a time for prayer. It's a time for prayer. And then that filthy, dirty communist Barack Obama got elected. And he mainstreamed all communism all the time, always advancing, never stopping, always moving forward, because he was a true street communist from back in the day. And every time there was a shooting, Barack Obama would swagger up to that podium and gun grab. And now this is simple Democrat politics. Journalists do it. Presidents do it. Senators, House members, while shootings are still happening now, before scenes are secured, before the shooter has been put down yet, Democrats will run to TV cameras and podiums and begin gun grabbing. That's how soulless and evil these communists are. The new country, man. Whatever, let's move on. Dear Oracle, it has to be Oracle with this question because no one seems to know the answer and no one is discussing it. Where are the millions of illegals who have entered the country in recent years? A mere fraction of them got bused to New York City and Eric Adams has a meltdown. Where are they? We're talking about millions and millions of people. How do you hide that many people? I await your clear vision. So glad you're back and life is settling back to normal. Okay, well, here's what happens. Allow me to explain what happens. And a lot of this is, it's going to make you really, really angry, okay? But this is kind of how this goes. There are NGOs, non-government organizations. There are several different stripes of NGO. But your taxpayer dollars support many of these NGOs. So understand what I'm about to describe. You pay for. You went to work today and paid for it. One, there are legal groups. They actually cross the border into Mexico and they set up shop in Mexico, and these waves of illegals will simply go right to the shop. And what's this shop dedicated to? This shop is dedicated to making sure every illegal has crossed the T's and dotted the I's to violate our sovereignty. This legal group teaches these people how to legally get in here and stay here. So, okay, they come into the border. They do this in a way that allows them to legally stay. Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Processing is overwhelmed. They put these people through processing. They don't have the holding facilities to hold that many, nor does the Biden administration want them to hold that many, because then they can get videotaped holding these people. Border Patrol is essentially now just a matador. Come on by, come on by, come up. That's what they're doing. But where do they go from there? Border Patrol will release them to NGOs oftentimes in one way or another. Many of these NGOs are allegedly Catholic. They're supposed to be Catholic. I would argue how Catholic that actually is, but it doesn't matter what kind of NGO it is, Catholic or otherwise. Your taxpayer dollars will then fly these people. Now, your question was where? And I have the worst / best answer in the world. Everywhere. It's not just New York. New York's in the news now. It's not just Chicago. Look, here in Houston, there's essentially a gigantic rundown suburb that is propped up here outside of Houston. It's called Colony Ridge. You can go look it up. It's full of illegals. What happens once the NGOs get them to a location, whether it's a small suburb in Idaho, it happens in Wisconsin, this happens in Montana, California, New Mexico. All 50 states go through this. I'll tell you what, I'm running out of time. I'll explain in a moment. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, man, we only have a little bit left. It's okay. We have a half hour left. I'm continuing. Keisha Dish now joining us. I was talking about how it works. The question was, where do all these illegals go? We have millions and millions and millions of illegals coming in. Where do they go? And so I was talking about the NGOs that get them across the border. And then the NGOs take possession of them from the Border Patrol. We hand them over to these NGOs. The NGOs are paid, of course, by the government, many of them. So you pay the NGOs. And then these illegals are flown everywhere across the country. They're getting all kinds of publicity now because they're taking up a bunch of hotel space in New York and whatnot. And they're getting publicity now because here's how it has worked in the past. Horrible, but differently. Here's how it worked in the past. What's the best way I could explain this? You ever had a sink that wasn't draining totally properly? And you can turn the sink on a little and drain some water. It'll drain the water a little. But if you turn it on all the way, the drain cannot handle it. It clogs up and the water starts to fill up the sink. The sink will overflow. We as a nation have been taking in way too many illegals for decades. Decades they have come into this country. But they have come in at a pace where they could be absorbed into different communities. Part of the reason you don't know where they are is they will almost always find a lower income community of their people. So they're not coming into your neighborhood. If you came here from Guatemala, you will find a Guatemalan community somewhere, almost always lower income Guatemalan community, and that's where you'll reside. That's where you'll find a job. That's where you'll find support. That's where you'll find the food you love. That's where you go. You come from Somalia, you go to Minneapolis. That's how it works. There's a million Mexican communities, so those are more and more in the country, but Chinese, you're going to find some Chinese community somewhere. That's how it works. The reason you don't see or haven't really seen many of them and now they're getting more in your face, you're seeing more and more of it, is we're taking in millions, and the millions can't even disperse into these communities fast enough. It's not humanly possible. Now the sink is on full blast, and now everyone's watch it fill up with water. But again, back to what we talked about, there's a reason for this. And this was the question I asked. Almost no matter what happens in 2024, the Joe Biden administration has been a staggering success for Democrats in this country, because these people, they will not be deported in mass. Even if you get a Republican in there of any kind, yeah, they'll start deporting the criminals, but even that'll get held up in the courts. They won't deport the people who are considered non-criminals, even though they're all criminals. The Republicans will stop short. Well, we don't want to be mean to the kids. And of course, this is what you'll get from the Republicans.
But let's keep in mind, these people that are wanting to come here, they want to come for a better life, too. They have kids, too. They have a heart, too. So we don't need to be disrespectful. We don't need to talk about them as criminals. They're not. They're families that want a better life, and they're...
It's a crime to come into a country illegally. They're all criminals. We don't have to be nice. I don't have to be disrespectful. I don't have to be respectful of you if you show up at my house tonight and you open up the door and walk in. In fact, you're going to see just how disrespectful my 300 blackout is if you walk into my house uninvited. But yet that's what we'll get out of the GOP. And don't do what you're doing right now. Well, not my guy, not Trump, not DeSantis. Oh, please. Oh, everybody caves to the D.C. swamp. Well, I mean, you're right. We should just focus on the really bad criminals, guys. We'll just get rid of the murderers. Yeah, it sounds good. Look how tough I am. And then the next time an election comes around, they'll all brag about how many people they deported. Anyway, no matter what, the people who have come, the millions who have come, most of them are staying. And their children will be American citizens who vote Democrat forever. So even if flooding the country with millions of illegals ends up in a short-term loss, maybe they lose the White House over it, in the end, Joe Biden was Democrat of the century already. It's early in the 21st century. Joe Biden's already the best president Democrats have ever had. Wild to think about. But that's where they are. They're everywhere. They fly them all over the country. They're absolutely everywhere. I still laugh about this from Corinne Diversity Hire.
The president tends to, and he's done this before, he's met with historians before ahead of an important national moment, which we're about to see, certainly as it relates to January 6th. And he met with these historians, a diverse group of historians, to hear from them, to hear directly from them on their thoughts about our democracy here, in this country and abroad. And the president felt it was incredibly important to hear from this diverse group of historians. And again, he's done this before. It's not the first time.
Diverse group. Of course. Golly. Jesse, why are you identifying your producer, Chris, as Jewish producer and often remark that he is Jewish? I am a listener and I am Jewish and offended that you choose to call attention to the fact of his being Jewish, but do not mention other people's religion. I may not continue listening to you for this reason. Oh, I think there's been some confusion. You shouldn't continue listening. If that offends you, this show is not for you. It's not for you at all. This is not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. We joke here. We have fun. We give each other crap about things here, and we always will. And I need to clarify this, not necessarily for you, because I hope you've already turned off the radio, but I need to clarify this for everybody. Everybody, you are welcome to email me. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. But I will never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, care when you email me and tell me how offended you are by something I said or something I say. I don't care that you're offended. You being offended is your problem, not mine. You understand that there's nothing you could say to me that would offend me. Nothing. Nothing. You could insult my face, my wife, my kids, my beliefs, my country, my dog, my house. You could say the worst thing to me in the world, and I would not be offended at all, because of being offended is a choice. And it's a choice many people choose to make, because in this country, being offended has very sadly become currency. If you announce that you're offended or really offended by something, you announce it as if it's an action item for someone else. I'm offended by this. And the reason you told me that is you want me to change my behavior. So your feelings get to change my behavior? No. No, ma'am. Not on this show. Oh, look, it's virtually every other show. There are a bunch of shows who will be really nice to your feels, okay? I don't give a crap that you're offended, and neither does Jewish producer Chris. All right, quit. We have headlines. There's a lot of headlines here. Some bad ones. Some good ones. Maybe we should tackle this one right off the bat about the Supreme Court and the ballot removal. I'll tell you what, we'll tackle that one right off the bat, and then we'll do headlines, because that one might need more than a quick little snippet, if you will. What a great word that is, snippet. I need to mix that in more, Michael. I need to mix that in more. Snippet. For now, we're just going to focus on building up our T levels, fellas. How do we do that? Well, you know the drill. Eat more meat. Get more sleep, exercise, but still, that doesn't change the fact you drink estrogen. Estrogens are in our waters, they're in our plastic, it's everywhere. That's why testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. Half! Get yourself on a male vitality stack from Chalk. It's natural herbal supplements. I take mine every single day. Natural herbal supplements and 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Setting everything else aside, the energy you have for life. I'm sitting here right now, what is it, 8 o'clock at night or something like that? My leg is bouncing up and down underneath the table. I'm ready to go. It's the best. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we check out of here and then return tomorrow for the greatest day of greatest days. Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, the day that you make possible with your questions. Get those emailed in right now. Don't wait. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So Maggie Haberman is a filthy piece of communist trash. She writes for the New York Times. For some reason, her and Trump have this real love-hate thing, and it's very odd. She hates his guts, and he hates her guts. At least publicly, they hate each other's guts, but they talk to each other all the time. She wrote this long anti-Trump book, and Trump let her sit down with him for like 2 days to help her write the book. She's just a horrible communist hag who hates his guts, but she does have access to Trump. She does. Now, she's a liar and a piece of commie filth, but she does have access to him. And the headline is, Maggie Haberman says Trump is worried Supreme Court may rule against him on ballot removals. Well, of course he's worried about that. Any human being running for president would be worried about that. That's not really the story, but that is something we need to watch for this reason. Obviously, if Trump's the nominee, we want him on the ballot in every state, obviously. If the Supreme Court doesn't stop it. And I hope they will, right? Fingers crossed. I hope they will. I think they will. I don't know. I'm not there. But if they don't stop Maine and Colorado from removing him from the ballot, I don't know that there's a blue state or even a purple state. I don't know that there's a state with a blue Secretary of State where he will remain on the ballot. That's the problem. If the Secretaries of State, if what they've done gets held up or gets approved by the Supreme Court, all the states are going to follow suit. That is one of the big things to watch out for in 2024. And don't get me wrong, there are many, many others with the legal problems and the arrests and the indictments. There are many, many other things. But the ballot removal, something I've been warning about for a long time, year on this show, if that gets approved by the Supreme Court, that's going to be a gut punch there. It's going to be a gut punch. Before I do headlines, let's play this Melissa Fleming, lady of the UN. These people, they really can't do what they do without shutting you up.
We cannot go on like this. We need to become more nimble, more targeted and strategic in our use of digital media and in our information literacy tactics, such as pre-bunking. At the Department of Global Communications, this will be a key preoccupation as we adapt the United Nations Verified Initiative to address climate disinformation. Moreover, as the UN system, we need to continue advocating to all other stakeholders to invest in robust digital literacy drives. Our aim should be to empower users of all ages to better understand how digital platforms work, how their personal data might be used, and to identify and respond to mis- and disinformation and hate speech.
They're really going to attack the internet for anybody who doesn't believe that cow farts are warming up the planet. Golly, these freaking people. All right, one email real quick before we go. Oh, wise Oracle. Vivek has been saying all the right things about not backing down to their religion and has acknowledged not using their terms. What do you think lays in his future? Let the bar eat. I've made my thoughts on him well known, but he's going to be around for a while. This is a human being. He's not making a presidential run trying to win the nomination. That's not possible. It's not even what he's trying to do. But he's going to be around for a while, for sure. If you're a fan, you should take heart in that. If you hate his guts, I'm telling you, this is an ambitious human being who will be here for a while.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Dane County judge says absentee ballots without complete address can be counted. Dane County is in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the critical swing state, we pretty much must win if we're going to win the presidency next year. Uh-oh. Tetris. U.S. teenager claims to be the first to beat the video game. There's always some smart nerd today that's better at everything than I was back when I was a kid. You know what, kid? You suck. House Homeland Security Committee sets first Mayorkas impeachment hearing. Look, these impeachment hearings, remember, they're not valuable in that they're going to do anything to save or protect the country, even if Mayorkas was to get removed, which he will not get removed. But even if he was to get removed, he'll be impeached probably, but he won't get removed. Even if he was to get removed, they'll just put another open borders commie in there. But they're valuable for the election year. These are election hearings, and that's a good thing. Don't let that turn you off. Don't be above that. That's how politics works. Drag these people through the mud publicly this year. Prove to America, show Norm and Norma just how open borders they are. Judge allows challenge to New York assault weapons ban to proceed. It's amazing that there are still a couple courts around the country that might do something to protect us. Put a smile on your face. That's a good thing. Trump moves to hold Jack Smith in contempt of court. I wish him the best there. In that court system, that's pretty bad. Obama secretly pushed Harvard to keep pushing President Claudine Gay, or to keep President Claudine Gay despite campus anti-Semitism and plagiarism controversies. It's wild how much Obama's name comes up behind the scenes over and over and over again, whether it's Harvard, whether it's Biden, no matter what we talk about, all roads still lead back to that man. That was the man. They talk about this election and all these elections. Oh, this is the election. We have to win. We have to win. We can't afford this. We can't afford that. When the truth is, that was the election we couldn't afford. That was the real evil one. That was the man we had to keep out of the White House because he was the smart communist. the real America hater who had a plan. It was Obama's election that really, really did us wrong. Whatever. Email me your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.